And I hope all your trails are happy. We'll talk again next hour with Community Conversations. Some friends stopping by the Morning Show studios. The news this hour at 9 is sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, serving Southwest Wisconsin since 1889. And the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. It's 44 degrees. The time is 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. President-elect Trump continues to assemble his administration. On Wednesday, saying he'll nominate Florida Senator Marco Rubio as Secretary of State.
It's a tremendous honor that the president would place his confidence in me in a position of such importance. It's also a tremendous responsibility. And the job of the Secretary of State is to execute on the foreign policy set by the elected president of the United States.
The president-elect also said he'd nominate Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz for Attorney General and Democrat-turned-Republican Tulsi Gabbard for Director of National Intelligence. Two explosions Wednesday outside the Supreme Court of Brazil, the blast killing a man and forcing the justices and staff to evacuate the building in Brasilia, capital of Brazil. Inflation remains under apparent control. The government reporting its consumer price index rose 0.2% in October to 2.6% on an annual basis. This is ABC News. Continued U.S. support for Ukraine in question as President-elect Trump prepares to take power. Outgoing Secretary of State Antony Blinken addressed NATO allies in Brussels.
We have 50 countries that have been acting in support of Ukraine. And I'm convinced from the conversations we have today and the conversations we have virtually every day that that support will continue.
Until the President-elect is sworn in.
President Biden is committed to making sure that every dollar we have at our disposal will be pushed out the door between now and January 20th.
In February of 2000, Monterey Bay Aquarium Research Institute scientists spotted a mysterious gelatinous bioluminescent creature swimming almost 8,600 feet down in the Pacific Ocean. Initially, they couldn't classify it, just called it a mystery mollusk. More than two decades later, though, the researchers announced it's a new species of sea slug. The findings published in the journal Deep Sea Research, Part 1. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The Bowling Alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
C.S. Lewis said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." This is Darren Klingeman of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, Richland Center in Muscadet. We encourage you to savor the moments you have with your family and friends, leaving you with few regrets in the end. And when the time comes to celebrate a life well lived, we'll be ready to support and serve you at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Your WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and find out how you can buy a house without needing 20% down.
A high today in the low 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy and chilly, a low of 35. Friday, pleasant with partly sunny skies and a high of 54. Saturday, 55 with a slight chance of drizzle at night. We have a west-northwest wind at 2 miles per hour after 37 one-hundredths of an inch of rain since last night in the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service rain gauge. We're at 45 degrees. Today's morning show is coming up next.
Hello, everyone. Brian from Walsh's. Did you know that our Richland Center and Muscadet stores carry culverts? We have single or double wall plastic culverts, and we have galvanized ones also. We also have drain tile in 3, 4, or 6 inch diameter. And for the farmers, we have fencing supplies, water tanks, bale feeders, bunk and mineral feeders, and many more things. Stop in at our Richland Center or Muscadet stores to see these and many great products. And as always, we do appreciate your business.
Are you looking for some entertainment treasures? Visit the Family Thrift Shop in downtown Richland Center, where they're offering a huge 50% off all media items, CDs, DVDs, VHS tapes, records, albums. If it's media, it's half off. From the oldies but goodies to hard-to-find classics, they've got an amazing variety just waiting for you. Open Wednesday through Friday from 9 to 5, Saturday 10 to 4. Stop by, explore, and uncover incredible finds. The Family Thrift Shop, where every visit is a treasure hunt.
Today's specials are Country and Community from the WRCO Studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
Welcome to the Morning Show on WRCO Radio. We have a great topic today during this Veterans Week. Veterans Day was on Monday. Great to still be talking about that and honoring veterans today. We're talking about the Badger Honor Flight that took place recently. And in the studio, we have veterans Marlon Clark and Ruben Rogstad. We also have Ryan Nimix here. He was a guardian on the recent Badger Honor Flight that we'll talk about. And Eileen Stevens is here wearing the hat today of Badger Honor Flight. Good morning, Eileen. How are you?
Good morning, Phil. Great. Thank you.
Wonderful. I wonder how many hats you wear because you're here with Grace and you're here with this as well.
Yep.
Well, how long have you been involved in Badger Honor Flight?
Badger Honor Flight, I started with their board of directors in January of 2019. I had attended a couple flights when I lived in the Madison area, and it was just, I knew nobody on the flight. I just heard about it and sucks you right in.
And you've been involved in how many flights then in that time?
Right now I fly on about three or four flights a year, depending what they need for bus captains. So we rotate that job in and out.
What area do you serve for the honor flights then?
The areas that we serve in Madison, we would primarily serve veterans in Columbia, Dane, Grant, Green, Iowa, Jefferson, Lafayette, Richland, Rock, Sauk, and parts of Dodge County. So there's five hubs that service Wisconsin.
And every one is memorable, I'm guessing, for one reason or another, isn't it?
It is. Every flight, as many flights as I've been on, every flight is new and different because you've got different veterans, you've got different stories. It's amazing. I don't know how else to explain it.
How does Badger Honor Flight operate then? Do you have to have fundraisers during the year?
Right. We are very blessed to have the fundraisers, the people in the communities that fundraise for us. Because each flight, and it depends what you're including in this, but, you know, since COVID, of course, fuel costs have gone up 116%. So that costs raise significantly the cost of a flight. But, you know, you got the buses and that. So I would just rattle off $130,000 per flight. We do six flights a year. We have great fundraisers such as clay shoots and bowling and golf. There's so many, I can't even think of them right now, but people just do fundraisers and send us the money. And it's usually those that have in some way, shape, or form participated in Honor Flight and know what it means to these veterans.
I would guess somewhere along the line there, somebody should write a book about some of the stories behind the scenes, shouldn't they?
There's a lot of stories. We have an incredible flight coordinator that, I mean, without Jody, I really don't know how things would run sometimes because, you know, she coordinates everything from stuff that happens in Madison to getting the flights confirmed to the buses to the memorials, our DC volunteers. I mean, everything just, it runs smoothly.
And from what I'm told, it's just incredible how they are escorted and treated. It's like some foreign leader or some president or something was arriving, right?
Right, we do. We treat our veterans like dignitaries. We used to have the park police when I first started with Honor Flight, where the park police would escort the buses. And, I mean, if somebody tried to cut in between those four buses, the boomerang would come around and literally push them off the road, escort them off the road, I guess would be the better term. And then we didn't stop at stoplights. We just had the right of way to just go.
You have a couple of gentlemen in here, veterans locally. I think that probably means even more when it's somebody locally and somebody you know, Eileen.
Right, right. Yeah, that was pretty significant in October to be able to get so many local veterans on our flight. Terry Nimitz was on our flight in here studio today. Of course, we have Marlon and Ruben. We also had veterans from Lone Rock and Muscadet on this flight, so that was really nice to have.
Lots of new friends are made during that time, too, right?
Yeah. Lots of new people with the veterans and the guardians, and it's amazing.
Well, let's bring on the fellas. How about we start with Marlon? He's an old veteran of the morning show as well. So,
good morning, Phil.
Good morning. You know, you'd heard about Badger Honor Flight. Had you thought about going in the past?
No, I got to tell you a story. So I received a phone call back in either April or May. And I answered the phone. I didn't recognize, you know, the phone number came up. Didn't recognize who it was. And he started off with, "Mr. Clark, you've won a free trip to Washington, D.C. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a spam call. So I listened to it for about 30 seconds, and I hung up on him. Well, he called me right back. And he said, "Now, don't hang up on me. This is legit." He said, "Your daughter signed you up 3 years ago, and she never told me that she had done that." And so it was a surprise.
Had your daughter forgotten about the fact
that she just said, didn't tell me.
She just didn't tell you. Isn't that something?
She wanted to be a surprise.
Oh, my goodness.
So they had already contacted her, I guess, that morning. Mm. And she didn't hang up on him like I did.
So your first reaction was, you know, did you drag your feet any, or are you excited to be able to be a part of it?
No, once he called me back, it's like, and then started explaining, you know, what was going to happen and what I had to do, then it's like, oh, you get pretty excited.
I bet.
For that opportunity to go.
You served our country in the Army then, I understand.
Yes, yes.
Sure.
U.S. Army. I went in December of 68 and was in through June of 72.
Kind of at the height of the Vietnam War, wasn't it?
Yes, but I had orders to go to Nam, but I came home on a leave for a week, went back to Fort Dix, and my orders had been changed, and six of my classmates and I went to Germany for 3 years.
Okay.
So...
You enlisted then, right?
Well, no, I got drafted.
You were drafted.
And then they had offered me computer school, so I signed up for another year.
Computers back then were a little bit different, weren't they?
A little bit different.
So then when you got out, do you remember when you got home? I mean, there was probably no fanfare or anything, was there?
Oh, no, nothing at all. And then you had to try to decide, okay, now what am I going to do? Because you know, when you're in the service, everything is so structured. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to do. And then you get out, and it's like, oh, now I'm on my own. Now I got to find a job.
And the rest is history, though.
And the rest
so
is history.
You were able to find a job.
Then. Yes.
So did you meet some people on the honor flight? You know, did you know some other people on there?
Not really. But when we were sitting on the airplane, the people that, let's see, I had a window seat, and my daughter was sitting next to me. And the gentleman, the guardian, was they were from Beaver Dam, so we got to meet them. There were other people that we also talked to, you know, at each event or each memorial that we'd go to. One of the things that kind of impressed me was we were at the Marine Memorial, and some school kids, I assume they were probably seventh or eighth graders, came up to us and started asking, oh, you're a veteran. When did you serve? Well, what branch were you in? You know, what did you do? Just general questions. And we found out they were from Illinois, and they were on a bus trip, and they were from, I think it was Lake County. Well, then we go to another memorial, and there they are again. So they kind of followed us around.
Ah, neat.
But, yeah, that was kind of cool.
What did you expect from the flight? I mean, going into it, was it everything you expected it to be, or did some things surprise you?
I think what surprised me the most was how well organized it was. I mean, they had us just on a very strict schedule, and everything went so smoothly. I have to say thank you. I really do. It was just such an honor to go, and just such. I can't describe it.
Which thing was your favorite haunt? Because I know you got to see all of the things up close and personal, all the tributes in Washington, D.C.
Well, the two memorials that I really liked was the Marine Memorial, planting the flag on Iwo Jima. Okay, the first one we went to where we got the group picture,
mm-hmm.
That one. And I think my My favorite, though, was the Korean War Memorial, because there you see a squad of soldiers walking through a rice paddy, and the detail on these statues is just so intricate. It's just down to details. And I just think that was, to me, that just caught the essence of that conflict. It's like, yeah, I like that one. There were a lot of people and a lot of tears at the Vietnam Wall.
I bet.
There were a lot of tears. I really enjoyed seeing the Lincoln Monument and then looking across the water for the Washington Monument. And we were standing there by the water, and I'm going, where's Forrest Gump? I know he's here. He's got to be here somewhere. So I'm asking my daughter, where's Forrest Gump? Do you see him anywhere in this crowd of people? Because there were a crowd of people there.
Very similar to the movie, then.
Yes.
People on both sides of the
yes.
water and then
yes.
leading
so
up
it's like,
to
he's got to be here somewhere.
Also joining us in the studio today is Ruben Rogstad. Ruben, you've even brought pictures with you today.
Oh, I brought a lot of pictures. I took about 400 pictures, roughly. So anyway, back in 2018, Arvin Stovey and I had talked about wanting to go out to Washington, D.C. on the Badger Honor flight because we was hearing something about it. But due to circumstances, we did not go. We wanted to take our wives with us. And those were not allowed and whatnot. So it got backed out. And then in late 18, my wife got extremely sick, and she was in ICU and the backup ICU for 18 days. And after that, she had to go into rehab and whatnot. So everything got backed up, and then I got her home. And a week to 10 days later, COVID hit. So it got backed off until July 29, 2022 is when I resubmitted. And this year in 2024, I was thinking about, geez, I hope they call me pretty soon. And then on June 27, 24 at 2:20 in the afternoon, Stanley Theis's called and said that I have been chosen to go to Washington, D.C. And when he said he was with the Badger Honor flight, my heart just started beating faster, and I've been so excited ever since. It has been a tremendous experience. So after that, August 10th was the Veteran and Guardian orientation in Madison. So we did that, and we was given polo shirts and light jackets at that time. And of course, Eileen checked my son and I in, and then Tiffany did a brief interview and took some photos and whatnot and posted that on the internet. So. And again, I got the meat stand there at that place. So then comes October 12th, the day of. I had the alarm set for 2:20 a.m., but I woke up at 1:10 a.m.
You were a little excited then, huh, Ruben?
I was definitely looking forward to it. So, and then my son, Nick, and I departed from Montfort at 2:55 a.m. We arrived in Madison's Dane County Regional Airport at 4:35. So to greet us at the door, there was honor flag members both sides of the entry. And then inside, of course, was the check-in tables and whatnot. So we checked in, was given the hat, and then we had to do the individual photo. So then after that, they had cinnamon rolls and Long Johns and coffee and juice. And
they took care of you.
Oh, really took care of us. And again, the people that's taking care of us are just all over and doing a marvelous job.
How exciting was it to go with your son, too? That had to be something
yes,
else.
Yes, we were both very excited. He was almost as excited as I was that Ian asked him to be my guardian and whatnot. So we really, really enjoyed going out there. So 6 o'clock, we're boarding American Airlines, and they hand us a breakfast bag with a lot of goodies in it. And after eating the cinnamon rolls and everything, I just really, I couldn't eat the breakfast bag. So after that, then flying into Washington, D.C., we had a time change, so 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard, and the pilot circles Washington, D.C., so my camera, I get to get some nice photos out the window, being I had a window seat, so I got some nice photos on that, and then after we got on the bus, on the way to Iwo Jima, drive through Arlington National Cemetery. And I say drive through, drive past it, and I got photos going over there. So, and excuse me. So I got many photos of the Washington Monument. You could take the photos of the Washington Monument from all kinds of angles around the city. So then, again, on the bus, Connie, our tour guide, gave us complete information on the next memorial before getting there. So after we did the group photo, we had lunch. And I can't remember who supplied the lunch. Do you remember, Connie?
Arby's. Yep.
Okay. Fantastic lunch. So
they fed you well, it sounds like.
Oh, very well, yes. And then we walked around the Arlington grounds, viewed the changing of the guard, which was fantastic. And again, got lots of photos of that. Visited the Lincoln Memorial. Visited the Korean War Veterans Memorial. Visited the Vietnam War Veterans Wall, which Vietnam is what I was in. And when our ship blew up in 1967, we lost 153 members at that time, plus many was injured. So those was all on the wall in one group, which I got a picture of that. So
you knew some of the names on the wall, then.
I didn't really know them. They were air wing personnel. They were not ship's company. I was ship's company, and the air wing personnel is the ones that lost their lives being on the flight deck and in the berthing areas under the flight deck. So
okay.
And then also we visited the Vietnam Women's War Memorial. And after that, we visited the World War II Veterans Memorial with the Washington Monument in the background. So then after that, we visited the Franklin Roosevelt Memorial with Eleanor. Visited Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial, drove around the Jefferson Memorial, so I got several photos of that. And then from there we went up to the Air Force, which was a new war memorial. And so we got to see that and the spire. And then after that, I was able to see the Pentagon, where the airplane blew that up or went into in the repair of.
Yeah, 9/11 Memorial. That's a very nice memorial there, too.
Yes. So then after that, of course, we headed back to the airport. And again, when boarding, they gave us another bag of food from Chick-fil-A to eat on the way home. So they was feeding us all day. Amazing. So we arrived home at 9:35 when we was offloading, and then they had tables set up. So the first table was the individual photo that was taken that morning that was handed out. The second table had the group photo handed to us. And the third table had the DC photo album. And then the fourth stop was at the top of the escalator, and a officer from Truex Field gave us the medallion when he shook our hand and welcomed us back home. So then getting downstairs and start walking through the gauntlet of people, I estimate must have been close to 2,000 people there.
My goodness.
So...
Yeah. Were you expecting, Marlon, were you expecting that when you got back?
That was what shocked me the most, was when you come down the elevator and there are four or five deep all the way down through that concourse.
Yes.
And it's just everybody's yelling, everybody's clapping, everyone's cheering, and it's like, wow, that's a welcome home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, tremendous, and they have signs and everything. So then at 10:40... we departed the airport, and we got back home a little after 12. But one thing I did forget, there was a mail call also on the way home. And I had cataract surgery this fall, so my eyes were watering. I couldn't read them on the flight. I stayed up and read them before I went to bed. And so it was like 13 minutes short of 25 hours I was up.
My goodness. And you slept well after that then?
Yes, I did.
But this mail call, so they had notified each guardian to have friends and family and relatives do postcards or little letters or whatever, and as a surprise, because we didn't know it. Because after the meal, they shut off the lights on the plane. So I thought, okay, I'm going to be able to get some rest. Okay. And then all of a sudden, about maybe 5-10 minutes later, then all the lights on the plane came on. I'm thinking, what are they doing? What are they doing? But I will say, American Airlines really treated us well. On the plane, everything, they had banners, they had streamers, everything was welcome veterans. So I want to then commend them also.
I wonder how you could pack any more into a day.
Oh. Really, it'd be awful difficult. However, there's still a lot out there to see. There'd be another 2 or 3 days of museums and other things to see yet. So
amazing.
One thing I wanted to show you was that each of us received this placard.
Yes.
And on this little placard was your name, your branch of service, your guardian, the bus you were on, the bus code. So we were on the blue bus.
Yes.
And it also had your plane zone, so we were in zone 4, and I had plane seat 30A. So when we went through customs, all you had to show them at the airport was this identification card and your driver's license, and they would just check off your name. And I've never gone through security so fast.
It was pretty slick then.
That was slick. That was easy. And on the back of this little card, if you pulled it out, there were all the stops we made and the times. So they, I mean, everything is just down to clockwork.
It's unbelievable how you got to be right on time all the time. It's like being back in the service again, isn't it? A little bit.
Well, mine was a little bit different than probably most. With the ship being blown up and in dry dock for 9 months, I was in, gosh, can't even remember. Which port I was in, Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay.
So Norfolk, Virginia, and then I brought my wife down there because I was tied up, committed right to the area for 9 months. So,
when the ship blew up, I know you served for like 4 years. Was where did that happen? Was that about
that
in the middle?
That happened over in the Gulf of Tonkin.
In the Gulf, okay.
We were just launching a strike on Vietnam. And unfortunately, was a safety pin that was pulled a little bit premature, and it missile ignited, went into a plane ahead of it, and started the whole sequence. So again, I brought the book. It has photos of that as well. So, yes.
My goodness.
We darn near lost the ship.
Lost everyone, almost.
Almost.
So, yeah. So among your 4 years, when did that happen then? Do you recall about what year that was when that happened?
1967, 10:52 a.m.
Wow. So that was early on. You were in the service for a couple more years after that then,
yes,
as well. Uh-huh. And then when you came back, did you settle back in this area then right away?
Yes, I did. Yep. As a matter of fact, at the time I was working at the foundry when I left, and they welcomed me back, and so I've been here ever since.
Right. Yeah. But this kind of it kind of caps off everything, doesn't it? You get the proper welcome home and the treatment and everything.
A tremendous welcome home, and again, the volunteers, everybody was so upbeat all of the time, and yes, and the meat. Eileen, who lives right here in town, I didn't even know that until we were at the orientation, and of course Tiffany and Stanley and you know, Marlon lives here in town. Yeah, I seen him a couple times, but we never talked before.
Isn't that something? Yeah, you got new friends.
Yeah,
never too old to make new friends, right?
So Brian's dad, Terry, I knew him, and he only lives a block and a half from me, has for a year, and we'll say hi when he walks up and down the street or something, but that's about the extent of it. I did talk to him a little bit when he used to work at Boaz Lumber, if you're familiar.
Sure. Harris Lumber, back in the day.
Yes,
sure.
Back in the day.
All right. This is an awesome opportunity here, Badger Honor Flight. We'll be back with more on the morning show in just a moment.
The month of November always reminds us of what we are thankful for. At Rockwell Automation, they are thankful for the wonderful employees and the efforts they put in every day. They're also a proud employer of many veterans and active duty military members and would like to extend a sincere thank you to those who serve and have served. Please be sure to thank a veteran this month and take a moment to remember all those who have served our nation. Rockwell would also like to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and safe travels during this holiday season.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Lynette at the Prescription Center. Our new store at 930 Sexonville Road is great. We have room, windows, and the same friendly people. Thank you to all who have continued to allow us to care for you. Please remember to check when you register with your provider that the Prescription Center is your preferred pharmacy. At our new location, we are now able to be pet friendly. If you are riding with your pet, please bring them in. We would love to meet them. It is Part D time again. There are lots of changes this year. Large increases in deductibles, the ability for your Part D plan to cover your copays, so January is not so expensive, and changes to cover drugs. It is important that you check your coverage for next year. We will do that for free. We have our drive-up in place, so pull up to the door and call 647-8806. Paul will run or walk your prescription and pet treats out. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
Okay, but what about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want 4 free phones.
What if I gave them kitchen tools?
4 free phones.
Well, how about a cozy sweater?
4 free phones.
Maybe I'll get...
4 free phones.
4 free phones.
That's how you take a hint. Get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular. Built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO Radio. We're going to talk to a guardian and share his experience as well. Ryan Nimix is here. And Ryan, what was it like to be able to escort your dad on this Badger Honor flight?
Welcome, Phil. It was It's quite the adventure. Going back to what Ruben was saying about when we landed in D.C., though, one thing that I really stuck out to me is when we landed and we were pulling up to the terminal, the airport fire department was shooting their hoses over the plane and to create this giant rainbow that went over the whole plane. And so we got to drive through, the plane actually drove through it, through the rainbow as we were pulling up. So that was pretty neat. And the people out in D.C., you know, just welcoming us in, and how neat that was. And just everybody was treated like royalty, it seemed like. And, you know, from what I have heard, you know, from stories that, you know, especially in Vietnam and how they were treated when everybody got back and how awful everybody felt. You know, it felt like they were being punished more than serving their country. And so I think that for a lot of people, it was kind of they finally got the honor that they deserved, you know, being shown all this. And as far as for my dad, you know, I've heard his stories, you know, that and all his stuff that he has hanging on the walls and, you know, for my whole life, you know, and what that actually, the 2 years of being on, he was on an aircraft carrier in Vietnam, and just obviously what that meant to him because of all these years, you know, that he's hung on to those stories, or, you know, no matter where we went, he would always bring up something about being in the service. And then years ago, finding out that his ship became a museum out in New York, and it's actually in a lot of movies. It's the USS Intrepid. Oh, sure. And, you know, my parents have traveled all over the country, you know, every year, take a vacation. My whole life growing up, it was, you know, I was supposed to be in all 48 joining states before I graduated high school. You know, so I got to travel everywhere and see a lot of things. And no matter where we went, my dad would always bring up something about him being in the Navy. Or I remember one time we took a trip out to New York, and we met some guy that he was in the service with out there. And so just, you know, realizing what that meant to him, you know, like that those 2 to 4 years or however long he was really in, I know he was on the ship for 2 years, but that must have been a very important part of his life, you know, to hang on to it all these years. And then I think it was 4 years ago, my mother had told me that she signed us up for that Badger Honor flight, and I think everybody kind of just forgot about it. You know, it seemed like it's been so long, and they finally got the call earlier this year. So that was, been excited, you know, trying to get to that, the dates to, for it to actually happen. And thinking, well, with a story of my life and my family's life, there's always something happening, you know, and it's like, well, hopefully nothing comes up to where we can't, you know, make the trip. But I think it was just still in awe that, you know, we're actually going to do this. And, you know, we get to Madison and that morning, and just the crowds of people, and just all the guys that, you know, being in small towns, you know, you think you know everybody. And, of course, you know, I grew up a block and a half away from Reuben here, and I've always known him, and I kind of grew up with one of his sons. And, you know, never knowing his story, didn't know he was in the service at all or anything like that. And, you know, as time went on, and of course, my dad knowing everybody and always taking care of the neighborhood, thinking that they should be best friends almost. But it's just funny being a block and a half away and them two really not. It took all these years for them to really know their stories. But just being able to sit back and watch all the veterans, everybody in red, you know, all the veterans were wearing red and all the Guardians were wearing blue. And you got to see just the amount of blue jackets all conversing, and then all, you know, all the reds. It was like, you know, having a kindergarten class. You know, I felt like I needed a leash to put on my dad, you know, because it's like everybody's wearing red. And And, you know, they all, you know, all these older guys, they all kind of look the same almost, you know. And it's like, I'm always losing him and trying to find out where's my kid at, you know. And of course, I got the honor to take on another veteran that didn't have a guardian.
Oh, you did? Wow.
Yeah. And so I was in charge of him while we were at the airport and then on the plane. And then once we got to D.C., a volunteer from D.C. then took that guardian over for the day. And then once we were done, you know, they were handed back off to me. We had to, you know, find each other and meet and make sure that, you know, they were never out of sight, you know. And so then that was, you know, I got to, you know, meet another veteran from, I think he was from Middleton, I think is where he lived. And just, you know, got to see the excitement in him, you know, just, you know, he'd never had anything like that before, and got to, so I got to hear, you know, his stories and whatnot, and so it was just, from that point on, it was like, I really felt like I wanted to do more, you know, for volunteering, just because of what it meant from what I could see, you know, and all the veterans, and what it actually meant to them. And, you know, and not even knowing everybody's personal stories, but how great it was. You know, it was like, you know, a kid in a candy store. Every time we pulled up to a monument, you know, and whatever it meant to that person, you could see the eyes lit up or, yeah, you know, just the importance of what that time back then meant. And for a lot of guys that could never tell their stories or just didn't really have anybody to talk to about their experience, and to finally see, it was like a big class reunion almost, that you got to see all the veterans talk to each other and share their stories that they've never told anybody, you know, because it was really awesome.
Your dad was pretty open with you about his stories, and it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he would talk about it all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and even like the letter that my mom had wrote him for on that mail call thing. And I think at that point, he was kind of almost wore out. There was just so much involved throughout the whole day that I'm like trying to open him for him. I'm like, here, read this, you know. And he's like, well, he didn't understand it at first. He's like, the way he's reading it. And, you know, it didn't say who it was from. And I'm like, he didn't really understand who it was from. And he's reading it, and he's like, so she was home playing with her ponies while I was out. I'm like, you know, of what it said something about through all these years, it felt like I was there with you because of all the stories and that you've told all of them being together. And he still didn't understand who it was from and what it meant to your son and blah, blah, blah. And he still, it wasn't clicking to his head. I said, well, how many wives do you have, Dad? And I said, you know, I said, how many sons do you have? You know, I'm his only son. And it's like, who do you think it's from? But he was just so overwhelmed.
Well,
with
yeah.
Everything. And then he had like, you know, 50 envelopes from everybody.
Sure.
Oh, yes.
After a full day like that, too.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's like he just couldn't even, you know, he just wanted to sit back and relax. He said, well, I'll read them later, you know, and this and that. But it was an awesome experience, you know. And I've been to D.C. before when I was younger, but it was I guess, kind of totally different. The way things were this time, that, you know, I actually see more and knowing, and none growing up and knowing more about what everything meant, you know, as 10, 11 years old, you just look at these monuments and just think they're statues, you know, you don't really know anything about them or what,
sure,
what they represent. But, you know, going back and getting to see and learn more about it as an adult and now knowing, you know, up until then, how important these actually were, and the Air Force Memorial being new, you know, and that was something incredible. You know, you pull up to it, and it just looked like this giant needle, this one straight needle up in the air, and as you walk up to it, it's actually three of them, and they actually branch out almost like an L shape. And you can't see that from a distance. It just looks like it's 400 feet straight up in the air. And then when you get up to it, It actually, there's three of them, and they arch over like that.
Okay.
And I lay it at the base of one of them, and you look straight up at it and take pictures of it. And it was all stainless steel and just how massive they were. And that was towards the end of the day. But, yeah, and then going back with our lunch that we got from Arby's, that the guy out there at the local Arby's, he donates all the meals.
Oh, my goodness.
To everybody. And there was, when we were out there, it was called Super Saturday, because there was, like, I think 12 other groups, like, from other states, Florida, Illinois, Michigan, Alabama, you know, so there was just group after group. And I mean, he was donating a sack lunch to every single person, not just, you know, the veterans, but also the guardians. So, I mean, I can't imagine how many meals he makes, you know, throughout the year. Yeah. For all them, and it doesn't take a single dime for any of it.
What a donation.
Yeah. But it was just very, very neat. You know, I'm so glad that I got to experience that. And of course, my dad has been talking to other people in town here that want to go on this honor flight, but they don't have anybody to go with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just getting the word out that, you know, that there's so many veterans in the community here that would love to go, but just feel that they can't or that they don't have anybody to go with them. So they just don't, you know, they don't sign up for it. So, you know, hopefully getting the word out that, you know, if you're a veteran and you want to go, you know, sign up for it. No matter, you know, there'll be somebody there that'll be able to go with you. So, you know, that way you don't have to miss that experience. And so, you know, when I knew of that, you know, I'm just like, well, I'm going to try to volunteer, you know, whether it's either at the airport or, you know, going out to D.C. again with somebody else, taking on, you know, a second person as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing that I'm willing to take on that responsibility just so other veterans can experience with what my dad experienced. And, you know, just see the highlight, you know, in their eyes and whatnot. And it's like that reverse effect again. But having my kids, you know, and then now seeing, you know, the older generation, you know, before me, and seeing that light up like children again, you know, and, you know, some of it was sadness and some of it, but all in all, I think they appreciated. You know, I mean, I haven't heard anything bad, you know, come out of any veteran saying, well, you know, I wish they would have done this or that, or, you know, it was just because it was such a full day, you know, and I'm sure there was a lot more to see. And there's certain areas where, you know, they gave me enough time to where it was almost like, well, let's go back on the bus. You know, it's like I'm getting tired already towards the end of the day, but it's like you kept them going, and I'm like, well, I can get you a wheelchair so I can push you around so we can, you know, you get to see everything. But it was very neat, and I would definitely do it again, and I would take on, I'd go with any veteran that was willing to, that wanted to go, that doesn't have anybody to go with. And just so, on a guardian standpoint, just being able to kind of, it's my way of giving back too, you know, as far as, you know, just so they don't miss out on that experience.
Yeah. Well, thanks for stepping forward and thanks for sharing the story here, Ryan. That's awesome. I'm guessing, Ruben, you'd encourage any veteran to go if they're on the fence, right?
By all means. I enjoyed it so much. I would highly recommend every veteran sign up for going on the Badger Honor Flight. It is a tremendous trip with tremendous guardians and all of the volunteers that help make it so pleasurable. But I got one more thing to touch on. My daughter-in-law, Jen, teaches at Iowa Grant, so I got mail from the third grade classes. There's three classes and the fifth grade class. So I got mail, all kinds of mail. Unbelievable.
You're famous.
I am now.
Oh, that's awesome. And I know they're putting a real push for Vietnam vets now. But you told me, Marlon, there was even a World War II Korean vet on your flight, too.
Yes. I don't know the gentleman's name. Maybe you do.
Not right on.
But we understand that, yeah, he was both World War II and Korea. But there were several people that were in wheelchairs being pushed around all the different memorials by, you know, different, either their guardian or volunteers out there. That was one thing, again, when we got to D.C., there were a lot of volunteers there to just help out and just make you feel comfortable, make you feel at home. I do want to go back and say we got to the airport. You're supposed to be in there about 4:30. Well, we got there at 4:45. And we checked in and we assigned our section, and then they had an honor guard. So they posted the colors, I think it was around 5:30. And I forget what, do you remember what group that was that posted the colors? I think they were they from Argyle?
They could have been Argyle Monroe.
I think they were Argyle. They posted colors, and then we had, a couple people from the Badger Honor Flight that gave welcome speeches. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we started boarding. It was a complete day. When we're on the plane back, my daughter goes, "Dad, how far do you think we went today?" And she had one, you know, the Apple Watch that keeps track of steps. And she goes, "We were over 16,000 steps." I said, "Well, how far was that?" And well, we were over 5 miles. We walked. Mm-hmm. And it's like, sometimes it's like, you know, where you said you had to watch your dad. It's like, I'm going, come on, Terry, let's go. Come on. We got to go. We got to go see this. Come on.
You're like kids again.
Yeah.
Eileen, any other stats you wanted to share with us today?
Well, with Badger Honor Flight, our last flight in November, we flew our 5,000th veteran out of Madison. So we're just a little over 5,050 veterans that we've flown. Of those, we had... let's see, about 180 female veterans over the last 14 years. We've got a wait list that's about, we encourage people to get your name on the wait list because it is about 2 years from the time you apply until the time we get you called. We're flying 6 flights a year, and applications just keep coming in because of the stories that the veterans and the guardians share, that we get more people interested all the time. So we highly encourage the applications to keep coming in.
I presume they have a website if somebody would like to volunteer or contribute to the cause.
Right. Of course, you can just go to badgerhonorflight.org. You'll find a ton of information out there regarding our history, how it started, how Honor Flight itself started is significant, and I believe Brian will be sharing that with you as well. So that's an incredible story.
And we appreciate you guys coming in the studio and joining us today.
Thank you.
You betcha, indeed. Eileen Stevens joining us here along with Marlon Clark and Ruben Rogstad and Ryan Nimix talking about their experience on the recent Badger Honor Flight.
Simpson's Tractor in Richland Center is ready to give you more choices, more savings with this year's Value Bonanza. The Value Bonanza sales event gives you more ways to save than ever before. You can take advantage of special financing plus cash back options on select New Holland equipment for a limited time. Save on tractors, save on hay and forage products, save on material handling equipment too. Visit Simpson's Tractor, your New Holland dealer in Richland Center today for complete details. Offers end December 31st, 2024. Apples are in good supply at Oakwood Fruit Farm. Pick up some Honeycrisp, Macintosh, Cortland, and other varieties for cooking and eating. Other treats include fresh apple cider donuts, take and bake pies, and fresh apple cider. Every Tuesday, get 10% off all apple purchases. Apples make great gifts. Open 9 until 4, 7 days a week. Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs and like them on Facebook.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family.
Welcome back to our morning show. Brian Ziegler is our guest. Brian is chairman of the Badger Honor Flight who joins us. And Brian, we're kind of putting the caps on the program and just another very successful Badger Honor Flight. But when you hear stories like you do, it has to be make it all worthwhile, doesn't it?
Oh, it's very rewarding to hear the veteran stories and the stories of from the families, and just more importantly, after the flights, those stories about what that day meant to them.
You've been involved with Badger Honor Flight since its inception, haven't you?
Pretty much, yes. I started in June of 2009, shortly after they started.
And do you remember those early discussions, and was it kind of hard getting it off the ground?
Actually, back then, I was the person sitting in the back of the room, so I was not involved. But, yeah, it was, you know, difficult to get, you know, how are we going to get things going? Who's going to be the leaders? How are we going to fund these flights? How are we getting things started? Lots of logistics issues to get figured out. And the folks that got it off the ground did a very good job. It's just funding was the biggest prohibitor from us flying in the fall of 2009 like we had wanted to.
Now it's really down to a streamlined thing, each and every flight, isn't it?
Oh, it's we say it's a very well-oiled machine.
When you look at fundraising, what are some of the things that you typically do to try and raise money to make these happen?
We have two of our own, actually I'll say three of our own internally generated. We have an annual golf outing. We also do a clay shoot, that's in May. We do a clay shoot in October. And then also we have a group of volunteers, we call them the Regent Street Dream Team, and they go out before every Badger home football game and solicit donations. So each of those raises in excess of $50,000 for us.
Amazing. And how many flights do you take a year, Brian?
We are doing six flights a year.
So you're scheduling those, and we understand from our guests, too, there's a little bit of a waiting list to be on the flight, isn't there?
That is correct. We are looking at almost a two-year wait list right now. So we're flying a little over 500 veterans a year. And we're flying as fast as we can and within our financial abilities to do so.
How to get somebody on the list would be the next question I think our listeners would have. What's the best way to go about that?
We go to our website, badgeronorflight.org, and we have a page for applications. And we are actively soliciting veterans there. You can fill in an online application. You can download a PDF copy. If you do not have the ability to do either one of those, you can call us at our number, 608-616-0243. We'll print off an application, mail it to you, or we even have some volunteers that would be willing to come on out and sit down with a veteran and get it filled out.
What are the years you're really focusing on right now? Are you more into the Vietnam era for veterans to take the flight?
Yes, we are. We're still... Our active solicitation right now is from World War II all the way through the Vietnam era. And but we also do have a program for more current era veterans, and that's part of our terminally ill. We call it their last chance program. And so if you're even part of the war on terrorism, you're eligible to go to the top of the list. That's also the criteria for that is also on our website.
I understand you still do occasionally have a World War II veteran on the flights.
We do, and we've had a couple this year. 57 flights in, and we're still flying World War II, and I know there's men and women out there that have not signed up for whatever reason, so we're actively trying to get World War II and the Korea-era veterans on our flights. They will go to the top of the list.
When a veteran goes, I'm guessing, do they ever go out and solicit or help you, you know, kind of promote this to veterans? Like, hey, you need to do this?
Those are our best salespeople. It's their experience to talk to others in their community, at their veteran groups, their civic groups, family members. We challenge every one of them to go out there and talk to others about their trip. And hopefully we've given them one of the days that they will remember forever.
Everyone that that I've talked to says that, you know, how can you pack more into a day? And then you get the mail call at the end of it. And that is kind of the capper, isn't it?
That is, it's what we always say, one of our worst kept secrets. And so we get the families involved to solicit mail, but we also get other organizations. We get a lot of civic groups or church groups, and this is my favorite, is the school kids. And we've gotten a lot more from the school kids here in about the last 2-3 years, and I think it's just the family members who are more in the education than maybe prior. They're actively teaching now. But we get a lot of letters from the school kids, both grade school and all the way up through high school. And those are the great ones because they're very sincere when they write their letters and their thanks and the questions they're asking. So, and I know our veterans love reading them.
I'm sure they do. And it goes both ways because it's a great history lesson for those school kids too, isn't it?
It exactly is. And I'm in the Wanakee area myself. And my Legion post is very active in the schools. Just was out there this week. And so I know the Wanakee school kids are writing letters. And it's a good interaction with our veterans in the school kids both ways. Transferring that history lesson to the younger generation.
Is there another flight yet this year, Brian?
There are no more.